Light Ministries was formed recognizing the need for professional and biblical counseling to be made available to women and children who could not ordinarily obtain, afford, or utilize traditional biblical counseling. Light Ministries is a grassroots movement providing comprehensive services, partnering together with churches and organizations, empowering women through strong and effective biblical strategies to be free from the bondages of abuse and destructive lifestyles through Jesus Christ.
Multidimensional Light Ministries utilizes a multi-phase, five-facet, biblically-oriented approach, which consists of the ministry house, counseling services, children's outreach, community networking, and our volunteer program. We offer support groups, individual and family counseling, support services, and live-in programs for women and children. These are helping overcome areas of physical and emotional abuse, addictions, patterns of destructive relationships, depression, fear, and anxiety, and we also offer a GED program.
We want this to be a really informal and relaxed time, so if you have questions at the end or even in the middle, if something's confusing, feel free to ask. We say that at-risk women and children are women and children that are at risk because they are either financially in distress, they've been in an abusive situation, they have been in a family background or lifestyle that they don't have Christ-centered models to help them parent their children, or they're lonely, and any of the above that you can think of. So there are over 1,200 children in Pennsylvania who are legal adoption children waiting in foster care or group homes to be adopted, but with no identified adoptive family. There are nearly 3,000 in our tri-state area. Today, over 35,000 children in our region cannot live with their birth families because of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. Each year since 2002, over 20,000 children in foster care nationwide were emancipated. This means that a foster care child has reached the age of 18 and is sent out on their own. This is also called aging out of the system. Outcomes for children aging out of the system are that 1 in 4 will be incarcerated within the first 2 years after they leave the system. Over 20% will become homeless at some time after age 18. Across the state, 40 to 60% of the young women were pregnant within 12 to 18 months of leaving the system. About half of American women have experienced an unintended pregnancy, and that current rate, more than one-third, will have had an abortion at the age of 45 years old. It's with these things in mind that we began opening the ministry house also to foster care children and adoptions. And our friend Marina is going to share with you a little bit about her heart.
Hello. I've known Eileen and Aline for a couple years now. I met them at a mini church through our church, and I just fell in love with them and what they're doing and with their foster children, and just see God like shining through all of it. It's so beautiful. So Eileen asked me to speak as a single mom and just to give you ideas of how you can help a single mom. So, it takes a village to raise a baby is what one lady said to me after church one Sunday after she met my son, Jaden, my new baby. I wasn't planning on involving the village in my life. I was raised to be self-sufficient, working for what I needed. I was 23, out of college, and I just wanted to be independent. It was bad enough the village had to know about my baby and my sin. But at the same time, I was determined not to put Jaden in daycare. I was determined to be with him as much as possible and watch him grow. I didn't know how I thought that'd be possible on my own without the help of the village. But despite that, I tried to fight the providence I didn't feel worthy of. The more I fought, the more blessings came my way. I was blessed with the essentials, diapers, my baby never went a day without them, clothes, food, money just was poured on me. It was overwhelming. I was blessed with a supportive family. My parents welcomed me back to live with them for 3 years, which was a big help. And my siblings loved me through it all. I was blessed with Christian friends. God would just drop them in my path, kind of like he did with Eileen. And it was through all my blessings and these friends that my faith was encouraged. And then I started to realize I needed help, and I needed to accept the help. I started going to women's Bible study and reading the Bible more. I started getting out of my depression that the pregnancy caused and triggered. I had been a Christian for many years, but was now realizing I could be forgiven, that I could do nothing to earn God's love, and that God is my Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and that he was providing to me through my village. As time passed, I surrendered to God more and more pieces of my life. The more I surrendered, the more God blessed me. Today I can stand here and say I never had to put Jaden in daycare. It's awesome. God provided me a business so I'd only have to leave him a couple hours at a time. I'm not going to make it through.
That's okay, I'm not either.
So my mom would watch him when I'd go to work and make enough money to support myself. And I just see how this would not have been possible without the village, and the village would not have been possible without God. Out of all these blessings, the most valuable one is my relationship with Jesus. And my son. Here's a picture of him. He's 6 now, and he's just amazing, and he loves Jesus. So, how can you bless a single mom? Diapers, clothes, food, money are all extremely helpful and necessary, but they don't help you with sleepless nights, illnesses, hospital visits, and disciplining. The enemy used all these situations to discourage me, fill me with doubt and fear. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." Hugs, notes, phone calls have all been so powerful and helpful to me. Prayer has been so powerful and helpful. Not just when people say, "I'll pray for you," but when they actually take the time and take a minute out of whatever you're doing and just say a prayer with them in the moment. In reality, this is what we all need. We all need encouragement, we all need prayer, and we all need Jesus. And it was when I was at my lowest point that I was able to admit that I needed help, that I needed Jesus. I encourage you all to give of yourselves, assuring that you will be blessed. As Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25:34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Verse 40 says, "Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." When I first found out I was pregnant, I was given this little Bible. And on the back it says, "And hope does not disappoint us." And I just lived on those couple words, just living on the hope of Jesus. It was my lifeline. And today I have a new lifeline, 2 Corinthians 12:9. "His grace is sufficient for me. His strength is made perfect when I am weak." The providence, faithfulness, love, and forgiveness God has poured out on me has been completely overwhelming. He has done it all through his people, my village. To God be all the glory.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going
to... Where did you get that quote? Did you turn to some services? Or?
I did, yeah. I went to Alpha Pregnancy. I think it's where I got this. Mm-hmm. They were a big help.
And how were you able to go into business for yourself?
It was all God. I went to school for ceramics, and artists never get work, is what you hear. But through a cousin who works at a nursing home, had me try to teach clay to residents at a nursing home, and that has grown into about 25 nursing homes where I go about a month. Yeah. It's amazing. It's unheard of. It's God.
We're going to show you a little bit more about the ministry house part now. Before we do that, I want to ask you, I'm not really going to ask you, I'm just going to tell you. There are three groups of people who especially matter to God. Probably some of you know who they are. They are orphans, widows, and aliens. Throughout the Bible, God refers to orphans. He wants them at the top of our priority list and of his. Deuteronomy 24:19 illustrates God's care and provision for these three groups. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. In addition, Proverbs 23:10 and 11 demonstrates another one of God's attributes, specifically as it relates to the fatherless. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their defender is strong, and he will take up their case against you. God doesn't stop at caring for and defending those close to his heart. He tells us to follow his heart by caring and providing. James says in 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. But the point here is in their distress. As Diane talked about this morning, we always want to go into friendships. We want to go into life with the good fuzzy feelings, you know. But the people who have mattered most to me in my life are the ones who have walked with me in my distress. And so I think this is where God is calling us. And of course, not only has God commanded that his people care for those in need, but he has also modeled and ordained the institution of adoption. Anyone who has placed their trust in Christ has been adopted into God's family. We've been looked after, as the scripture says there. We have been cared for and provided for in our distress while we were yet sinners. I want to remind you that there were probably no warm fuzzies for God when he looked after us in our distress.
With few resources and faith, we prayed and asked God to provide a way to minister in the city to abused women and children and to avoid homelessness. In 1995, two elders from two separate churches donated an 8-bedroom, 4-bathroom house with 2 kitchens and 3 living rooms. The ministry house serves as a means to further Light Ministries' vision to expand the holistic support services to enable single mothers to gain financial, emotional, spiritual, and community support. The Bible says to encourage one another daily. Women in abusive situations live in a prison of bondage, threats, fear, and despair. They are being degraded constantly. Our home provides daily opportunities to experience loving family situations and much needed healing consistently. Single mothers live here without fear, where they can pray and cry together while solving conflicts using biblical principles. It's a safe haven for modeling Christ to their children. Living together lightens the burden of cooking, grocery shopping, laundry, homework, carpooling, and childcare, which means you're less tired and stressed out and better able to care for the children. You might even have a little personal time for yourself. Like George here. He considers this personal time.
I don't.
It's a delight to look out the ministry house window and see the children free to laugh and enjoy the yard. In 2001, Light Ministries went international. I was given the great honor of becoming Mama Lena to my Sudanese foster sons, Bith and Majuk. Our home became a refuge to these boys that were left homeless and motherless, starving for love and protection and daily provisions. I was able to teach about Christ, refrigerators, silverware, and computers. In 2003, the international ministry continues. We were blessed with Elsie, Andres, and Julie from Mexico. Elsie came to study at the Christian Counseling Educational Foundation to become a counselor. We love when Pat comes to lead us in our Sunday worship and Bible stories.
God has been so good to me and my children. Through Light Ministries, God has blessed me with counseling. When I was being abused, I could call any time of the day or night and receive biblical guidance and prayers. Through this ministry, God has blessed me with a home to live in, a haven away from bondage and fear. He also blessed me with other single moms to share laughter, tears, and prayers, also to help with babysitting my four children. It's been a great support system for me and my children. I really thank God for the love we receive from the people around us.
Psalm 82:3 says, "Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute." I don't believe there's any mention in the scriptures that you should expect gratitude and that you should get warm, fuzzy feelings when we together vindicate the fatherless or do justice to the afflicted and the destitute. In fact, I consider the need for gratitude and warm fuzzies to be an idol. And you know what Jonah says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. I think that there's sometimes when you go into a distressful situation, there's expectations of that you're going to get warm fuzzies, I guess, is the best way to put it. And a person in distress can't always express their gratitude. Lots of times they can, like Marina did, or Kathy did, or other people, but sometimes they really can't. Sometimes they are in such turmoil that, it's important that we understand that walking with God means laying down our lives and not having expectations back for that. Because it can be months later, it can be years later, that you will see how God really did use you and bless the person that you're ministering to and yourself by laying down your life. So, Kathy's going to share now. Jerry's going to share now.
I want to talk about how mercy...
You should stand up. Help me now.
Okay. Thanks, Mom. Anyway, I want to talk about how mercy changed me. And I was always kind of just focused in on myself. And I would do whatever I had to do during the week, but just leave my weekends to go nuts and do whatever I wanted to do. That didn't work out so good when you get married and you have two pretty self-focused persons, because you got no foundation, you're not going in the same direction. So God blessed me with kids, and that took the focus off of myself. And that's how God had mercy on me to begin with, and that started changing me. Started having problems in the marriage, and she decided to go a different direction, but we won't get into that. And I found myself dealing with this situation on my own for about a year and a half, and I made a lot of stupid decisions, like giving her custody. I shouldn't have allowed that since she decided to go down that road, but I did. And I found myself just kind of struggling with this thing on my own. I met Eileen, and she kind of became a friend and started walking along with me, and I was like, okay, something's going on here. It's a little different than I've ever known. This isn't usually the kind of relationship that I have with a woman, because things usually got physical real fast. And now I'm starting to have a relationship with this person. And that changed me too. And I think, in a way, that helped me to get prepared to be in a real marriage this time. Because we are best friends now. And that was a completely different thing for me. So, through Eileen, I also met several other people. I met Pat House, who helped me, and Angelo. The two of them kind of helped me to pray, helped me to study the Bible, and actually kind of integrated into my life where it actually started making sense. Whereas before, if I read the Bible, it was like, this stuff doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want to even get into that. And next I met Nelson Shane, who, let me go back a little bit. In the middle of that, I'm a social worker trying to do this whole social work thing in my own power, and it wasn't working out so good. Since I had so many problems of my own, I wasn't doing such a hot job at keeping it together to be a social worker. Ended up getting fired. But that was one of the five best things that ever happened to me, because I got out of social work and I got into construction. And Nelson Shane hired me with no experience in construction. He said one time that I was the greenest guy that he ever hired, and he doesn't to this day know why he hired me, but he did. Who else was it? Ken Galuski hired me, and I learned about plumbing and a little bit of electric with him. The thing that he modeled was he absolutely adores his wife. And I had seen people, treat their wife good and all, but not like him. So that started me thinking. Then I got hooked up with Alan Smith, who's my boss now. He's the best boss I ever had. He's taught me a lot about electric, and he's taught me a lot about business and integrity and just how to really live out your faith. He was a missionary in Uganda for 3 years, and he continues to live that way every day. And it's been a tremendous thing just working for him, and I can't say enough about that. Anyway, so God blessed me through all these different people, and they put themselves out for me. Now it's time for me to decide, okay, am I just going to go on this and have my happy little life now, or am I going to turn around and be a blessing to other people? And I've started to do that in a lot of different ways. I go work at her house, and it's unbelievable down there. And once you go and you get around those five kids, you're going to get hooked, and it's going to make a difference in your life. I went down to Mississippi after Katrina for. Went down there for a week with a group from Fort Washington. It was unbelievable. There was groups down there from all over the country, and the coordinator down there said, I don't have a problem getting people to come down here for a week. My biggest problem is telling them they got to go home at the end of the week. Because once people got in there and they started working on these houses and seeing people actually get back into their house, they just wanted to be even more a part of it. I can't forget Ron Taylor. Ron Taylor was a guy who, he lived mercy every single day. And I don't know if any of you know Ron Taylor, but I think a lot of people that go to New Life would say they're either there as a direct result of Ron, or he was the first person that they noticed when they went there. He really kind of stuck out. He was tuned in to people that were hurting, and his whole life was trying to bless people who were hurting. He blessed me when I went to Fresh Start Seminar, and that's a seminar for divorced people to kind of help them get back on the track and give them a little bit of hope. That was an awesome thing too. What's the end result of this? I'm a stable person now. At least as stable as somebody can be with a 5-minute attention span. And I don't know. I'm just a completely different person than I was. I'm not this person who's just interested in pleasing myself. I've learned that the best thing is serving God by serving people. And I'm not going to say that I do that all the time, because I don't. But that's the best thing about just being alive these days. And it's an awesome thing. So if you find people to bless along the way, just ask God to open up your heart, open up your eyes, and find a way to bless them. And you ain't going to regret it.
Jer and his two children lived in the ministry house in the beginning when there was great turmoil and distress, and he was a great support system to us in actually beginning the starting point for single parents to live there and children. So we're going to show you a little bit about the counseling part of the...
Can I say one other thing? I'm reading this book now. It's called Love, Walk Among Us. And it actually is changing the way that I look at things. Because the main point of the book is that it takes Jesus in every situation that he was in, and how did he treat people? And it's just, I was just zipping through it and just reading, that's pretty good. I decided to read it differently now, and I'm taking one chapter a week, and I'm rereading it over and over again, because I got to kind of get several things before I actually get it. And I'm letting it kind of change me now. So if you want to get that, I think it's seejesus.net.
So we're about to show you the part about counseling, which is how Let Ministries began. We were it began as a counseling ministry, evolved into the ministry house, into the support groups, and into a godly buddy program for women and children, which is like a Big Brother, Big Sister program, which you'll learn more about. Okay.
We provide professional and biblical counseling for life-dominating issues, specializing in crisis intervention for abused women and children.
Many people living in dysfunctional or abusive lifestyles experience extreme feelings of helplessness. They are without hope, direction, or solid role models to help break the cycle of self-destruction. Counseling individuals with life-dominating issues, this ministry is equipped to meet the heavy demands that such specialty counseling frequently requires. Often these complex needs cannot be met within the standard setting that most counseling practices offer. In addition to the standard counseling services, we offer 24-hour crisis intervention, specialized in domestic violence, flexible locations, mentor prayer partners for all counselees, and a ministry house. Our mom's group meets once a month, focusing on parenting skills, support, and prayer for the children and each other.
I couldn't stop raging and abusing my wife and kids as I continued to blame her and felt justified, until I wanted to see it from God's eyes, as Eileen showed me in counseling, that He draws near to the humble and wants to restore me to being a loving husband and father and bless my family.
I was always praying, God, please change my husband. But during counseling, my heart was open to say, Lord, please change me. And He helped me to admit my bitterness and my superior attitude. And now I'm learning to trust God to make the changes that He wants to make in both of us.
God really used Light Ministries by showing us how to admit our sins and ask one another for forgiveness. God has brought healing to our marriage. He restored our friendship and love for each other.
Through counseling, I was taught that my firm and loving discipline was an important aspect in my parenting. Instead of being overwhelmed and unfocused, I was taught how to work on one or two prominent parenting issues at a time. Light Ministries encouraged me to understand that my life was not too messed up for Jesus to handle.
During a time of deep depression, I felt confused and increasingly out of touch with reality. I became more and more disconnected from truth. Light Ministries was used by God to point me to truth, regardless of my emotional response. When what I wanted most was to stop feeling the pain, God's truth became irresistible, and the gospel began again to set me free. I'm grateful to God for His mercy to me through Light Ministries, in revealing my ongoing need for His grace, and for pointing me to God's promise that He will provide future grace sufficient for all my needs.
Light Ministries has been used by God to help our family through some very trying and troubled times when we were having conflict with our pregnant teenage daughter and when my husband went through a major depression. I learned not to fall apart with my emotions, but to lean on God and His Word. God's Word states He will never leave us nor forsake us. I was always encouraged by the wisdom that God gave our family through Light Ministries.
Light Ministries supported and counseled me for years, including late night phone calls with prayers, tears, and hope. They also paved my path to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and encouraged me to get involved in the body of Christ. In a struggling marriage with no income, no insurance, and just decided to be the moneymaker, I was devastated when I got pregnant. I was determined to prove, with the Bible, that God would understand me having an abortion. I met with Eileen every day for 1 week. As a result, Olivia is now 8 years old and one of my angels from heaven.
Kathy's going to share with you a little bit. We were actually trying to edit and take Kathy and a few of the testimonies out, but God didn't want that, I guess. So you get double. You get Kathy on the video, and now you get her live.
It's very unusual that I come to an event like this and don't have everything laid out and prepared in a way that I'm comfortable. Today, the Lord brought me here with a really open mind, not knowing my audience, not knowing who knows me and who doesn't. So I just want to give you a broad brushstrokes of who I am. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents brought us to church. My mother, a believing wife, but my father, really mentally ill due to sexual abuse when he was a child. The way he chose to cope with that abuse, which I didn't learn about till I was in my 20s, and it really helped me understand why my father's the way he is. The way he chose to deal with his abuse was walls, control, protection. So I grew up in a home where my father really wanted to protect us. from anybody could hurt us, which was pretty much anybody but him. So the Lord making me a person who's very social and loves people, there's always that tension in my heart. Why are we being so cut off from people? I love school. It was an outlet where I could go and learn and interact with other children. It was a safe environment, an environment my parents were comfortable with. There was no going to the swim club, going to social group activities, because my father couldn't stand it. I got to a point in middle school where I was very frustrated, and there were financial issues where we just didn't have the money to join clubs and things. So the socializing I saw was actually out on the street when the teens would hang out on the corner and smoke pot and do drugs and stuff. That became my goal. That was my social goal. I actually did poorly in school on purpose. Which sounds strange. You know, people who are in difficult situations do things that are strange. I, instead of leaning to the Lord, I leaned towards things that I saw that made sense to me. And they brought me to places that were really damaging. I ended up a single parent with two children by the time I was 20. And at that point, I was on welfare. I was very afraid. I was afraid I was going to be homeless. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to raise my children. I had actually gone to Bethany Christian Services for counseling and was going to give my first daughter up for adoption. And ironically, all the worksheets that I did that were supposed to help me understand why I needed to give my daughter up for adoption helped me understand that the Lord could really, I don't know, I just believed that it was possible to raise my daughter. And I kept her even in the midst of my running from the Lord. I got to a place where my mother started bringing me to church. Hadn't been to church in several years. And they welcomed me. An older woman, her name was Lois Mason, at Glenside Bible Church. She welcomed me into their women's Bible study group. No strings attached. You know, she just loved me. She just shared with the group about the Bible. We could ask her questions. I felt so comfortable there. I started coming to church, and, you know, those long ago strivings for comfort and for community, I started getting a glimpse of that again, that was possible. And my pastor, I came to him and explained everything about my situation. I had actually started coming to the Bible studies and quietly married the guy I was living with without getting any counsel, because I wanted to neaten everything up. And my pastor, he said, well, now that you've made that decision, I do have to treat you as a married couple. And he sent me for counseling with Eileen. She wasn't Lake Ministries at that point, she was Eileen. And Eileen really had hope for my situation. I shared all my awkward, uncomfortable secrets, and she always had verses. Every week she had verses for me. Now, mind you, I would come back the next week and admit that I hadn't read any of the verses she gave me. And she would keep giving them to me every week until it did get to a point. Like, first, her caring reached my heart to the point where I was willing to look into the Bible and willing to listen to the Lord directly. She kept encouraging me to go to the Lord directly, that the Lord needed to be the center of my life, and that was such a struggle over a couple of years, to be willing to release my heart into the hands of the Lord. And that was a real turning point in my life. And once you truly give your heart to the Lord, every time you're at that crossroad where you want to make decisions on your own, it's that much easier to give yourself to the Lord, because you can look back at what he's done. There's so much. There's so much information. I don't know how much to share with you. I ended up moving in to live with Eileen for a couple years. And they were very good years. The Lord provided care for the girls after school while I was at work. And we had women's Bible studies in our home that were convenient. I had people invite me to their homes with my children. I just want to encourage you, single parents, please invite them to things they can bring their children to. Single parents, especially if they're working, they want to be with their children. They don't want to find a babysitter to go to an adult event. At least that was my experience. I really wanted to have that precious time with my children. I ended up learning about marriage and what biblical marriage really should look like. And then my husband and I were married 13 years ago. My girls are grown. And over the years, I've been able to minister, and that's been really exciting. Just little ways. To me, ministry is little everyday opportunities the Lord opens your eyes to and opens your minds to. It's not the big things, and the big programs are good, but it's those intimate interactions where someone has touched you because the Lord's touched their mind. We had a fire, and someone gave us a basket of apples. Of all the things that people gave us, of money and clothing and like that basket of apples, I knew that woman's situation. She was in a hard situation herself. And the blessing was what was important, not what she gave me. These are the kind of things you want to be thinking of when you look at the people around you. What are just the little ways that you can make a contact? Right now I'm a grandmother. My life is starting to feel stable over the years, and I kind of wanted to put aside some of the craziness I talked to you about. And I was praying through this real struggle. Years ago, I secretly prayed about my future, asking the Lord, you know, if maybe he'd like my husband and I to become foster parents after our children were grown and out of our home. It's interesting to see how the Lord guides our prayers and uses these things. A few years ago, my friends and Eileen and Wayne decided to become foster parents. And Jesus has used me to serve them and those lovely children in various ways. Little things, you know, praying about the specific children, you know, buying a few containers to help them organize their toiletries, driving them to a couple of their visits with their parents in the city. Don't like to drive in the city. babysitting the children sometimes. One day I found myself making pancakes for 10, five foster children, five friends. You know, just these little things, these are exciting. It's exciting to be able to turn around and serve others after you've been served. I still struggle. I still struggle with the temptation. I want to distance myself from the messiness of other people's lives. Now I'm a grandparent. I was thinking we were really stable and thinking the worst was behind us. You know, we went through the teenage years, and now we have our two grown daughters. One just had a little girl, and my other daughter's going to have a little boy. So this year I went through a lot of emotional, a lot of shame. You know, wait a minute, I'm the success story. Why is this happening again? But it's really not the same. The Lord uses other people's sin and our own sin, and he weaves it in different ways. And my husband has not left and said, I'm out of here. My husband's here. He's doing what he can. We're doing what we can to point the girls towards the Lord. Our church family is pointing our daughters toward the Lord. Everything that I've learned in my own life of how people can help me is being used to help my daughter. I could not share this with you today because it's embarrassing. It's not what I think ministry should look like and end up like. But life is ongoing. It's generation after generation. I just want to encourage you. My life right now, it's an adventure. It's an adventure of prayer. It's a dance. I'm being ministered to. I'm ministering to others. And I'm closer to the Lord now than I ever have been in my life before.
We're going to fast forward some of the video for time's sake. We'll probably go over a little bit longer than 2:15 if you have to, or 2:30, I forget when it's supposed to end, but, 2:30, okay. The next part of the video is about the volunteering and supporters, and about the networking part. We have a networking facet where we network with churches, we network with Alpha Pregnancy, we network with Lutheran, with Bethana, we network with food cupboards, we network with any organization at all that we can bless or they can bless us. And so if you know of any organizations, groups, women or children that would like to, would be blessed by us or could be blessed by hearing about it, that would be really helpful to us if you could let us know. In the end, there's a sign-out sheet out in the hallway with brochures and newsletters. The first time that Wayne and I, what happened was we were having a lot of single moms and children live with us in the ministry house, and we had moms with five children. We decided to make the apartment a place where we, for years, we didn't allow a mom with just one child because we knew that homelessness was a big part of a problem for single moms, and especially if they had more than one or two children. So the apartment upstairs on the second floor, which consisted of two bedrooms and a bathroom and a living room and a kitchen, separate from our house but in that same house, became a haven for moms and four children, moms and five children. And eventually we began praying and seeking God's heart as to how we could minister to children that didn't have parents. And so we went into seeking the Lord for foster care. And the first time that we became foster parents was actually to the Sudanese boys that you saw on the video. And the second time, Wayne and I sat down. At first, Wayne said, "No way, I'm not going to be a foster father. No, we're not going to do this." And he also, well, he'll probably tell you his story about how he got there, but he said, "No, we weren't going to do foster care." And I said, "Well, if you don't agree, then we're not going to do it because that wouldn't be God's will. Because you live in the house, you serve, you're the program coordinator, I'm the director, and it would be a house that would be divided in serving and ministering." So I just kept praying, "God, if you want this, you got to change Wayne's heart," which is a big job for God sometimes. And so he did come back and say one day on our way to church, "Well, I don't know what happened, but God changed my heart again. I think we should look into this at least." So we looked into it, and they were very happy to have us in spite of my disability, which I thought would be a big issue, and wasn't, in spite of our circumstances. And they called us and they asked us if we would take a group of four siblings. And they give you 60 minutes to make that decision, basically. And that's true. And I don't know if that's true with another organization. Somebody in the back would probably know. But that was true for us. So we had 60 minutes to make a decision. And they brought the first child to us, and then that night they brought the next three children, and they were all siblings. And I have to, for discreet purposes, I have to think of. So Wayne and I sat down that night, well, two nights afterward, because the first two nights were just completely a whirlwind. And we sat down and prayed, and we looked at each other and both saw trauma in each other's eyes, and finally confessed to each other that what we had expected were these really cute little kids that were going to love us and adore us and worship us and make us feel really good and not say, "I hate you," and not do things like steal or curse or pee on the floor or anything else that you can almost imagine. And we decided that we actually had gotten Bart Simpson in a five-year-old version. And at that point, we just hysterically laughed, and God used our joy, and we were sure that there was no way we were going to be able to fulfill the calling, because we knew the calling was to love and lay down our lives. And but after almost a year, God did very quickly, actually, change us, to soften us, to that we didn't have Bart Simpson. We had the sweetest broken-hearted boy
that you could ever know.
So Wayne's going to share with you.
First, Natasha, you probably heard this the other day, some of this. As Eileen said, I guess I knew Eileen for probably 20 years or more. And, you know, most of the time I didn't know what she did, really. I had no idea. So we did the power burn one time, and I figured out what she did. And but at that point, I lived a couple guys, and I played tennis, and I played a little basketball. I ate good food and just hung out. So that was my idea of a great, great time. You know, it was just me. If you said to me, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And I said, "Nothing." And you would say, "Well, can you help me?" I said, "No, no, I'm doing nothing." So I remember Eileen had I had a conversation, and somehow about me moving to the ministry house, and I remember saying to her, very scornfully, that there's absolutely no way, a little anger, that I'm moving to that house. Just forget it.
Hell would freeze over.
So, and shortly after that, I had a little trouble in my heart. I think the Lord, decided to pursue a lifestyle and a career goal that would probably take me away from the Lord, because I was estranged for a few years. And I just had a very traumatic situation shortly after that. I lost 10 pounds and eat. And, you know, it kind of zapped me back into church and the Lord. And I got some great advice from a friend. He said, to serve. He said, just find a way to serve God. So I decided that, I didn't decide. I had to leave my house. One guy was getting married, and they moved it up, so I had no time to get out, and the ministry house, people were moving out there, so it was kind of just coincided. It was there, I was ready to serve. Now, when I moved in, it was single moms, kids, that I can help out, I can bring some groceries in once in a while. So no big deal, help Eileen out. Well, sure for that, of course, Eileen approached about foster children. Of course, I said, no way. But I guess my heart somehow changed there. And, another part of the story, when I moved in there, I'll tell you about the Lord's His blessing and how He teaches. Not only those are blessed, the children, I hope, are blessed, but how he uses every situation. Because when I came there, the ministry house wasn't exactly the cleanest, most organized place. So me, Superman, was going to come in and just whip it together. I just said, this has got to stop, that's got to stop. So I went about throwing out the Tupperware out, buying all new, all the same, top, bottom. I was never going to look for a top again. They were all the same. Well, I learned shortly that, you know, the Lord has his plans and I have mine. So they broke off all my Tupperware up. So that didn't work. And a lot of other little things that I had just, I knew I was rushing. I was anxious. And I knew there was a problem with that. But I continued just to try to do any and everything I could. But most of my plans kind of just broke down. They just didn't work. It wasn't a tragedy, but I tried it and it just wouldn't last. And it wasn't like a lasting thing. And I proceeded like that. I would not soften my heart. I just kept going. I was just going to fix this house, man. It's going to be like I wanted it. And it took 2 years, actually. We had two women in who took us through the Titanic. I mean, they were tough. They were really, really tough. And that's part of the reason we went to foster care there, too. They helped out. But what happened finally in 2007, just was a tough time. It was a great blessing, don't get me wrong. But what happened was we started having financial problems, and it was very stressful. Of course, I would have been. And at some point, I needed a woman of faith, I can tell you that, because she steadfast. But eventually I gave up. I said, this is not going to work here. I said, we are going to lose this house, we're going to lose these kids, and this is going to be a disaster. And you know, we also had our 13-year-old. She was going to 7th grade, and the feed school in the city was a horrible place. I mean, even the kids in the neighborhood said it was terrible. So we needed our one child before that had gotten donated money for tuition. But there were no takers on Courtney, our 13-year-old, so we just couldn't send her to school. So there was an incident there. Another incident, my car went, and we didn't have, you know, we weren't ready to get a car either. And, of course, all the financial stress. There's another incident. I remember it later. But what happened was, right when I gave up, because I literally gave up, I said, this is not going to work here, is when things started happening, really. It was just exactly then. Miracles started to come. I mean, at Christmas time, we had a group of women who always donated gifts to the children, which is a great, great blessing. But they didn't do it this year. This was like a week or two before Christmas, so we had no way. We were sunk, and just unsolicited people just started giving 4 gifts to these children. Just large amounts of money to take care of that. Bless those, like a real blessing, you know. And the Lord provided a friend of ours to homeschool our daughter. And that's exactly what she needed. You know, she needed to focus. She didn't focus, and that was far better than I could plan or imagine. And I remember a guy sent an email about a car. You know, it was a little 4-seater car, you know. By the way, I forgot to tell you, I told the Lord I wanted a nice van. It was a custom-made van. Beautiful bucket seats, TV, and everything. He wasn't going for it, I guess. But this car came up, and I said, wow. I gotta get. He's not even saying to me, "You want, you know, this car's no good. Can't even fit the kids in the car. What good is it?" So I convinced her that was what was giving this car because of the gas mileage. That's right. So turns out the car was already gone, so we didn't get it. But lo and behold, a week later we got a call from a pastor saying someone was offering a minivan that could fit all the kids in the car. I love this car. If you told me I would love a minivan, I thought you were crazy, because I swore I never got a minivan. But this car, I just love, you know, and I asked the Lord, why'd you wait a month, Lord? You gave me a car, but for a month I was taking the bus and getting rides, borrowing cars, Jerry. This car, and, you know, it dawned on me that I would never be as thankful as I was when I got that car. So if you guys saw this car, you probably wouldn't be so impressed. But I tell you what, I love that car so much because God gave it to me, man. And I just saw him, just a great, and the Lord just showed me, you know, it's not me. And he, you know, it's a blessing to me. Thank you.
Being a good Presbyterian, we want to give you three things that must be present in your heart while ministering for at-risk moms and children. Weakness is the first on the list. How about that being on this page? The Lord told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Paul's response was, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses than the power of Christ may dwell in me." In verse 10, he continues, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Trust Christ is the second one. 2 Chronicles 20:17. Does anybody have a Bible? Okay, well, that's not very good. the battle is not ours, is what it says. Paraphrased by me. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. As Kathy said, that she, Marina said, that she hung on to those verses, to certain verses. This is a verse, 2 Chronicles 20:17, that I have hung on to for many, many years, which basically says that the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Christ won the battle, and we are to follow, laying down our lives, expecting nothing back except more of Jesus, expecting to share in the sufferings, not just the glory. The third thing is that we have to do it together. Don't change it. We have to do it together in Christ. God has made it possible and clear to us that the many gifts of the body are essential to come together, united and together, to fight the devastation of abuse, homelessness, fatherlessness, poverty, and oppression. Having two sibling groups for over a year, one of the groups of the children, after loving and dying and laying down our lives with them, suddenly, because of the twisted lies from particular professionals involved in their care, the judge abruptly removed the children and displaced them in separate foster homes. Yet intensifying that injury was separating these children that we were able to keep together for so many months. In Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It was in that hour that I transferred my needs unto the one who was meant to carry all my burdens." God purged the pain from losing the children to an unjust and uncaring system and produced an unmistakable passion and deepened love for foster children. For God, it took courage, it took courage for Wayne to become a foster father. But if there could be an even greater dimension of joy in going through this battle, it was that we went through it together. Not just the two of us, as you can see, but the many, many friends and family volunteering in umpteen ways, being godly mentors to some of the children, lifting the burdens of paperwork, cleaning, providing childcare, tutoring, computer assistance, painting, plumbing, electrical work, driving, financially supporting, and bookkeeping. People continually ask us where we get our joy. If you see peace, life, and joy in our lives, it's because, just like every one of you, we are weak, we trusted in Christ, He provided the shelter through the storms. His invincible spirit truly gives us the joy that empowers us to die to ourselves. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Your next-door neighbor is likely to be an orphan, a widow, an abused woman or child, a single parent, or a stranger to your world. When we die to ourselves, we live in Christ. No greater joy is there than to lay down your life for your friend. We reflect the glory like mirrors. He demonstrates through us a little bit of himself to others. Malachi 3:3 says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled some women in a Bible study, and they wondered what the statement meant. Can you lift it up? About the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest, beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that says, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it." Let's show the last part. Yeah, let's show the last part. Yeah.
Okay, we'll skip ahead.
Yeah, we're going
to
show
you.
We're going to show you the last part of the video, which is the children section. All the children that you see have been involved in our lives in some way or form. Again, if there's any way that you want to be involved, if you're local in Light Ministries, please give us a call or take our card out on the table. So we're going to show you this part. I'm going to read something else and then we're going to pray, okay? And if you have any questions, you can stay and ask. But there's going to be a question time at the end of this conference, so you don't really need to worry about that.
If you have to go, it's 2:30 now, so you need to leave. We understand.
Wayne made this PowerPoint. We almost lost his friendship in the middle of it, but...
One hour a week makes it extremely difficult to understand a child's social dynamics. Through our many services, we have the advantage of knowing a child in various settings, enabling us to more wisely assess and guide. Coping with abuse or a broken family is extremely difficult for children. When there has been a parental betrayal through abuse, children are often imprisoned by intimidation and secrecy. Having understanding, a safe and loving environment in which to share feelings and experiences during this time are essential.
Wayne and his integrity.
Light Ministries offers play therapy with support groups for children, teens, and their parents or caregivers. Providing a non-threatening environment, praying for a natural opening up of a child's heart. When there is abuse, a vacation is not an option. Single parents are usually stuck in survival mode physically, financially, and emotionally. Vacations usually turn into a horrific experience with volatile consequences. Embracing this reality, Light Ministries and a group of volunteers began taking 11 to 15 children yearly to Rehoboth, Delaware for a week of fun, ending each evening with Bible talks. God provided us with a donated house on the bay with a dock in the backyard.
Just for that week.
We are minutes away from the beach, where we enjoy the experience of children seeing the ocean for the very first time. Our child-friendly week includes amusement parks, games, and arts and crafts to help bring the children closer together, expressing feelings and sharing experiences with one another while growing closer to Light Ministries volunteer staff.
That's Kathy's daughter on the right, on the left.
One of the children's highlights is checking our backyard traps for crabs, providing us with our dinner feast. We always spend a day at the neighboring sports complex, rock climbing, going to the water park, and go-kart riding. It's our special week of unlimited hours of fun in the sun.
That's Kathy. We've been doing Kids Week now for 15 years, every summer. So it's another opportunity that you can get involved by either financially supporting. You can come down with us and be a help. Don't get any sleep there.
Big brothers and sisters, provide a child with a stabilizing adult that loves God. We ask that you take a child away from their home environment for a minimum of 3 hours once a month. You can take them on family vacations and trips, holidays or art class, or shoot a few baskets. As a single mother, being Marquia's big sister for 3 years through Light Ministries has enriched my life. I treasure the many memories I shared with Marquia, memories of gardening, baking, singing, and talking about Jesus while living in the ministry house. It has been an honor to share a short season of my life with this young girl from North Philadelphia. Light Ministries' Big Sister program gave me the opportunity to share the Lord's love with the fatherless.
Knowing Christ is experiencing that we have no limits in our abilities to love. We are called to lay down our lives as he did. There's no burnout. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We will mount up like eagles on wings of great strength. We will walk and not grow weary. He gives strength to the weary and power to his saints. I was going to pray, okay? Father, we thank you so much for the way that you have touched each of our lives, that you have changed us, that you have freed us to stop looking at ourselves and be able to look at you. Father, we pray that you would give each of us a tunnel vision, blinders toward you, that we would lay down our lives more and more every day and every moment, that we would taste more and more of you, that we would know the joy of seeing you heal broken hearts and bind up their wounds, that we would taste the joy of knowing that we can't do it alone, we can't do it with just you, but you have placed us in a place where we need each other who love you. And Father, we pray that you would unite us for each heart here, that you would not allowing us to take, to only go when it feels right, to only lay down our lives to those that feel good, that we would not look for the warm fuzzies, we would not look for the gratitude, but instead we would look for you, and that we would just know without a doubt that you have called us to this. We can't do this without you, and we know that you have got to go before us, and we can't do it on our own strength. And we thank you, Father, that you have not just saved us from hell, but that you give us the opportunity to love each other. In Jesus' name.